every day. But Prabhupada, when he saw that, it was a trigger for Srila Prabhupada. He looked at the devotees in the car and he had tears in his eyes. His eyes were brilliant, they were big. There was nothing else in his attention than the scene of this little boy being lifted by his father. And then he said, alone the boy couldn't reach, but with the help of the father, he could do the impossible and throw the letter inside. So devotees, the point is, what can we do in our spiritual life all alone? We are like black ants on a black stone, in a black night, in a black, dark universe. We are very helpless and blind. But with the help of our divine spiritual master, our father, we can be lifted up to a position where we can participate in transcendence in the spiritual platform. So this is a deep meditation, Srila Prabhupada, I'd like to do today. For all of us, let us not allow you to disappear from our minds. Let us not be very confident that we are sitting here and Srila Prabhupada disappeared so many years ago. We should aspire in our lives to let Srila Prabhupada appear in our hearts, because we need him. We need you, Srila Prabhupada, to lift us from this darkness and put us back into our eternal position. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada, for everything that you've done for me. And I'll personally say that, Prabhupada, without your help, I'll be in the dark dungeons somewhere like those black ants. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for everything that you've done for me. Thank you, Prabhupada.
Thank you, Anand Gopal. We are very honored and fortunate that today, amidst us, out of those 1,600 disciples of Srila Prabhupada that I had just mentioned, we have two very illustrious disciples with us. We have Her Grace Nartaki Mataji and we have His Grace Krishnamurti Prabhu here. So we would like to request His Grace Krishnamurti Prabhu to offer his respects and appreciation to Srila Prabhupada.
Can I be sitting in my back? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pucharane Narasesha Sinivadi Paschati Desha Tarne. Hare Krishna. Just few memories I would like to share. I recall I was in Henry Street in Brooklyn, New York. And this was 1972. Srila Prabhupada came several times to visit us. And I noticed I was a brand new devotee, and I noticed right away that when Srila Prabhupada walked into the room, it was very amazing. It was like suddenly the sun is shining. It was like electricity. You could feel it in the air when Srila Prabhupada came in. It was quite amazing. It's because Srila Prabhupada is a Shakti Avesh avatar, it was very noticeable. Even the non-devotees, he would go walking on the street or into the park for drop a walk, and people would be very favorably impressed. He would greet everyone, good morning. He'd say, he didn't even necessarily say Hare Krishna. He would say, good morning. And the people just could feel the energy. They had to stop and smile. I noted down a few points. Oh, also, Srila Prabhupada, one time he came to New York to visit, and he was walking down the hall. It was a very thin hallway, men on the one side, women on the other. He was walking by. And I remember I was thinking, Srila Prabhupada was able to know what you were thinking also. I was thinking, oh, Srila Prabhupada, please stop and notice me. See, you know, stop and see me. And so he's walking along, and then sure enough, he stopped right in front of me, offered folded palms. And I felt like, oh, this is the success of my life. I could die right now. Srila Prabhupada has acknowledged me. And I would always, whenever I would see him somewhere, I would try to run up and be right next to Prabhupada. So, also I saw him one time at New Vrindavan, and he was about to leave. He was in the car, and for some reason the devotees, there was no one there. He had just come from the temple, and they had a big program, and so I ran out to the car. I said, Jai Srila Prabhupada, and he looked out of the car very lovingly and said, Hare Krishna, and offered his folded palms again. And so I have many pictures with Srila Prabhupada in it, because I was always running up to the front. If Srila Prabhupada was there, I would push my way and be right up front there, because it was just so amazing. Even when speaking or not, when he was speaking, of course, it was quite wonderful. But even not speaking, just being in close proximity, you could just feel the love of Srila Prabhupada. It's just very, very powerful. Just like you notice if you're in a dark night and someone turns on the light, immediately you notice. So you can feel it. Let me just read a few things that I jotted down. There's one occasion where some devotees were asking Srila Prabhupada, oh, Srila Prabhupada, is it true that we can go back to Godhead in this same lifetime if we're very sincere and we followed your instructions? And Srila Prabhupada said, if you're 100% Krishna conscious, you can go home in this lifetime. So the devotees looked a little discouraged. So he noticed that. So he said, okay, it's 90%, then you can go. And still the devotees looked discouraged. So finally he said, okay, 75%, but no less than that. And then another time he was at a lecture in New York. I was there. Actually, my father came to that one. It was the only time he came, and he stayed for the lecture. How much he understood, I don't know, because it took some getting used to for Americans to understand Srila Prabhupada's accent. But anyway, he was saying that that even he was speaking about the verse Rasoham Apsukonteya, on the taste in water, the light of the sun and the moon, and he mentioned that even a drunk person, if they think about Krishna or chant Hare Krishna or remember Krishna, they can become Krishna conscious gradually. And I saw an example of this at the San Diego Temple. I live in San Diego, California, and some years ago, maybe 15 years ago, one devotee came. He was a Bengali, came with his wife, and he told me his story that he used to be, he was a drunkard, but when he would drink, he would recite some Bhagavad Gita quote, verses, and he would try to remember Krishna, and he would pray to Krishna, please help me. And then sure enough, that he was there. He was a very nice devotee, him and his wife. They were cooking for the deities. So this was a nice example of what Srila Prabhupada said, that even a drunk can become, a drunkard can become Krishna conscious. Also, there's one lecture Srila Prabhupada gave in Atlanta, Georgia, in U.S. And it was on the appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So Srila Prabhupada was speaking, giving a nice lecture, and towards the end, he became very emotional and started to cry, and he said, I want to thank you all for helping me so much to push on this Krishna consciousness. And anyone that hears this particular lecture also has to cry, because it's very, very emotional, very powerful. Another time, Srila Prabhupada said, perhaps you've heard, said, I will live forever with books. So whenever reading Srila Prabhupada's books, we can.
Never really. Oh, this one, this one now.
Oh, Hare Krishna. So whenever reading Srila Prabhupada's books, he's there with us. He said, in these books will be the law books for mankind over the next 10,000 years. Another time a reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, he said, Swami, do you hear God speak to you? Are you saying that God talks to you? He was a little skeptical, a little critical. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna speaks to me. And then one disciple, Ramaswar Prabhu, he said to the reporter, oh no, what he means is that Krishna is within his heart, and Krishna, he gets direction and inspiration from Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada said, nonsense! He said, no, he said, Krishna speaks to me, and I hear him. That was a funny one also. Another incident I thought was funny. One time, one very skeptical woman reporter, I believe she was a women's liberation, that was big in the U.S., but at least back then. So she said, why do your disciples, why do they shave their heads? Sir Phil Prabhupada, he would always have the exact correct answer. Sometimes sarcastic, sometimes loving, depending on the individual, he would speak. So he said, why do you shave your legs? So she after that, she quieted down. He always had the perfect instruction. When, whoever he would speak to, because Krishna in his heart would tell him how to speak to this particular person, devotee or non-devotee. That's why so many, he would speak with so many priests and so many persons from different religions and reporters, and he always said the correct thing. Almost always they were very charmed by Srila Prabhupada, and when they left, they would be very happy, feeling happy. It said that Srila Prabhupada had many disciples whose parents became angry. Why are you taking my son away for this strange religion? And somehow or other, he would charm them. He would give them fruits. He would give them prasadam. He would speak very lovingly. And he would compliment their child and compliment the parent for raising them so nicely. And he would reassure them, don't worry, we will take very good care of your son or daughter. So the people were always pacified, always charmed after that. Do I have any more? No, I think that's all I have.
Yes, the tea time is approaching.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much for giving me these few minutes. Hare Krishna.
We would like to thank His Grace Krishnamurti Prabhu for this wonderful offering and inspiring us with His memories of Srila Prabhupada. At this point of time, we are approaching the exact tithi time where Srila Prabhupada went back to the spiritual world. 1977, 39 years back, at exactly the same time, Srila Prabhupada went back to the spiritual world, disappeared from his physical mortal presence here. So remembering that, we would like to request His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu to lead us in the Jainilo Prema Dhana prayers.
Acharya Thakur.
जैन प्रभु कोथा गेला आचार्य ठाकुर काले कोठा गेला गोरा नतरा कहा मोरा पाषाण कोटि वो माता अनल पाशिबो गौरंग गुनेरा निधि कोठगले पाबो से सब संगीरा संगे जे कोई लो बिला से संगना पाया कांदे नरो हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Nithai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Gaur Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, one devotee from America, an American disciple of Srila Prabhupada, once asked him that many of his friends, colleagues, those who knew that he is practicing. Hare Krishna. So many of his friends asked him, have you gone to India? You learned so much about yoga and you learned so much about philosophy. So he came and asked Srila Prabhupada, what should I answer them? Prabhupada told him, tell them, I have not gone to India. India has come to me. So all of us, Srila Prabhupada represents the entire India, the understanding of Vedic philosophy. So very, very fortunate to have the presence of Srila Prabhupada in our life. And at this point of time, we would like to call His Grace Navin Neerad Prabhu to speak something about Srila Prabhupada. He is one of those people who has probably been most closely connected with Srila Prabhupada's books, distributing millions of books across the world. And as he is getting ready to give his offering, we would like to request Her Grace Amritna Mataji to be ready.
Hare Krishna. Dear Srila Prabhupada, on this most auspicious occasion, we are very fortunate to be here assembled at your lotus feet. In your writings, you have spoken about the story of Sanatana Goswami and a touchstone. And while hearing this story, many of us must have been thinking, I wish I would have gotten this touchstone. Has any one of you thought like that? Or is it just me? But then, when we come to the conclusion of the story, we realize that actually we got the touchstone. Prabhupada gave us the touchstone of this process of Krishna consciousness. Tonight we'll hear many glorifications, many wonderful stories and reminiscences about your glorious activities and personal exchanges and interactions. And it is very cherishing. To me, you perfectly embody the synthesis of spiritual perfection and delivering the system, the process of Krishna consciousness in a form that it is accessible, that it is tangible, and it is plausible for the people of this day and age. Not only have you given us the touchstone of Krishna consciousness, but you have created so many touchstones all over the world by investing your potency into innumerable followers and have empowered them to become touchstone on their own and creating more touchstones. So this is the wonderful legacy and gift that you have given us, and I'd like to thank you for it. I feel very inadequate, like a small child standing in front of his grandfather, and just to amuse him, picking up the shoes of the grandfather and trying to walk around in them and speaking in broken language, which is very pleasing to the grandfather. So it is ironic in some sense that some of us are trying to attempt to do what you successfully did 50 years ago of bringing Krishna consciousness to the whole world. And you might think, why is this necessary? Because the process of spreading Krishna consciousness never stops. It's not that it has been one time done and that's it for time eternity. Because the forces of Kali are very strong. And in some places, Krishna consciousness is on the rise. Your books are being distributed profusely and in increasing numbers, even in countries like China and the Arabic-speaking countries, which is surely bringing great joy to your heart. And in some other places where you made the first impact with Krishna consciousness, in some places Krishna consciousness has receded and it needs to be rekindled by the next wave, by the next generation of the touchstones that you have empowered. So today I like to humbly thank you for allowing me to be in the association of so many of your shaktis, of your potencies, of your touchstones, and to assist them in their endeavor of sharing your message, this transcendental message, which is the message of Lord Krishna, the message of the Guru Parampara, to declare it boldly to every man, woman and child that take shelter of the process of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Sankirtan movement, which is the prime benediction for humanity at large. I'd like to thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for being available and accessible to each and everyone who is ready to pay attention, to pay this price of faith and a little bit of eagerness. In these times of controversy and of diplomacy and of so many other diseases of this age of Kali, we beg you, we pray at your lotus feet that you may grant us the humility, the perseverance and the tolerance required to overcome our individual differences and our idiosyncrasies and to join together in this spreading of the movement of Sankirtan for which you have sacrificed and which you have shown us in your own glorious endeavors. All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. I'd like to thank His Grace Navinirad Prabhu for reminding us that Srila Prabhupada is a touchstone that not just converts people into gold, but creates more touchstones that can convert more people into more touchstones. As Her Grace Amritna Mataji comes, and we would like to request His Grace Damodar Prabhu to be ready for his offerings.
I heard this wonderful story here, very instructive story in class one day here, and I thought I would share it too with all of you. Once Srila Prabhupada was in Juhu, and he was one disciple came up to him and said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, all your disciples who are making life members, traveling all over Mumbai, are traveling in Mumbai in cabs. You know, they could have very well gone in trains, you know, and saved a lot of money for the temple because so much of money is being spent on construction. But they are splurging away the money by traveling in cabs. So Srila Prabhupada heard him out and then he pacified him very nicely. He said, all my Western disciples, they have given up such a luxurious lifestyle and, you know, they have, out of their intense love for me, they have given up everything and they have come here and they are living such a hard life, you know, with so much of hardships. So, you know, what's the harm if they travel a little bit, you know, if they travel in cabs? So this devotee kept quiet, and then next day morning Srila Prabhupada was giving class, and in the class he spoke on the verse. Then, you know, the purpose he gave his class, and then in the middle of the class he said, we are collecting money for Krishna, and we are building this wonderful, beautiful temple for their lordships. He said, this money has to be very, very carefully spent. It has to be very frugally spent. So we have to be very careful. And so this way he gave the message. It has to be spent very wisely, very carefully and rightly. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada gave the right message to both his Indian disciple as well as to his Western disciples. The Indian disciple who complained, he got the message that he should be very tolerant and sensitive to his fellow God brothers. And to his Western disciples, they understood that they should be cautious and very frugal in spending Krishna's money. Being the head of a big institution, Srila Prabhupada had to handle many very sensitive issues, both within the society as well as outside. But Srila Prabhupada took care of it so wonderfully. Today, Srila Prabhupada, we bow down our heads at your lotus feet in gratitude, in appreciation and love. You are very much here seeing all of us, watching over us. You are present here with us today and always through your spoken words, books and your glorious disciples. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for showing us the right path.
I'd like to thank Her Grace Amritna Mataji for this wonderful offering, reminding us that we should be very sensitive towards devotees. Prabhupada often said, ISKCON is a kitchen religion. So we have with us here His Grace Damodar Prabhu, who has revolutionized our kitchen here, make it ISO standard. Probably should Prabhupada be really happy with that. And as Damodar Prabhu gets ready with his offerings, we'd like to invite His Grace Keshav Chandra Prabhu to be ready.
Hare Krishna. I'm grateful for this opportunity to give my offering on this auspicious day of Prabhupada's disappearance. So actually there is a section in Srimad Bhagavatam where Vidurji asked Uddhava about Krishna's disappearance. That what is his news? He just sensed that Lord has disappeared. So he asked the news of Krishna and his associates. And Uddhavji actually starts speaking of Krishna's activities. And Prabhupada says there is no difference between Krishna's disappearance and appearance and his activities. Right? So actually on this disappearance day, we are speaking of Prabhupada's wonderful activities. So on absolute platform, Vaishnava's appearance, activities, disappearance, they're all glorious. So I'll just read some beautiful words of Prabhupada. This is included by Yamuna Mataji. This is included in the Yamuna book. So Prabhupada is speaking to a group of devotees. We are making a very gorgeous plan at Mayapur, and if you all together can give shape to this plan, it will be unique in the whole world. It will be a world center for teaching spiritual life. Students from all over the world will come, and we shall revolutionize the atheistic and communistic tendencies of rascal philosophers. So we must be responsible for this great task. And then Prabhupada said something very striking. Not for a single moment shall we be without ISKCON thoughts. This is my request to you all. So Prabhupada here is requesting all the devotees that not for a single moment shall we be without ISKCON thoughts. So I was just contemplating upon this statement that usually many times when we think of ISKCON, you know, sometimes we think of ISKCON controversy, some politics, etc., you know. So, but I was complaining, what does Srila Prabhupada want us when he says, not for a moment shall we be without ISKCON thoughts. So then I thought, let me try to read Prabhupada's purposes, right? We can think of ISKCON in terms of course, prasadam is one thing, we can always think of ISKCON, right? Outside also, whenever we meet and feel ISKCON, ISKCON means very nice prasadam. Right? So many people, of course, think in that terms. But I thought I will like to one good way of thinking always of ISKCON is to think of its seven purposes. So although I have previously studied, read and heard these purposes, but would not be able to fully comprehend. So one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam came to my mind, that Lord Brahma, he studied all the Vedas three times to get the full comprehension. And Prabhupada writes that Lord Brahma studied the Vedas with scholarly attention and with great concentration of mind, so that he can come to the right conclusion of the Vedas. So I thought, let me study these seven purposes of ISKCON three times with whatever scholarly attention or little attention we have and with whatever concentration at our disposal. And I was praying to Prabhupada that please reveal the in-depth meaning of the seven purposes, so that we can always think of ISKCON in terms of its purposes as you desired. Not for a single moment shall we be without ISKCON thoughts. So I will quickly present the seven purposes and my small understanding which I got by the mercy of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada says in the first purpose, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace. So Prabhupada in the first purpose talks about education. Education in terms of spiritual knowledge, spiritual skills and spiritual values. So education is the key word for the first purpose of ISKCON. And His Grace Rasmandal Prabhu was saying that if we just focus on this very first purpose of education, it can resolve so many issues, you know, that we face in the institution ISKCON. So secondly, Prabhupada says to propagate a consciousness of Krishna as revealed in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So this education should be based upon Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, as put by Prabhupada. So third, to bring the members of society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, and thus to develop the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead. So the third purpose is, first is to educate, which is based on Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. When this education happens, people come together. Right? So the coming together is the key word over there. The fourth purpose, to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God, as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when people come together, the Sankirtan will spread. Right? Because Samyak Kirtan, people when come together and glorify Krishna, that is Sankirtan. So Mahaprabhu Sankirtan will spread, that is the fourth purpose. The fifth purpose, to erect for members and for society at large a holy place of transcendental pastimes. So here Prabhupada is talking of the temple. So when the Sankirtan is spreading, so many devotees are joining, there needs to be a facility for the devotees to come together and glorify Krishna. So the fifth purpose is to have a temple. Right? The temple construction comes in the fifth purpose. And the sixth, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life. Right? So then first there is a temple. After temple, Prabhupada is indicating that people now they come further closer and live a more natural way of life. Natural way of life, of course, sometimes you understand close to nature. But another in-depth meaning of natural way of life is where everyone is naturally hearing and chanting about Krishna, spending most of the time, which actually form communities where the living is simpler, then naturally person gets more time to hear and chant about Krishna. So that's sixth purpose. Prabhupada talks about establishing form communities where natural life of Krishna consciousness can actually flourish. So the seventh purpose, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books and other writings. So to accomplish these six purposes, the seventh is to publish and distribute books. Right? So I thought that if we can have one acronym, I was thinking of one acronym to summarize the seven purposes. So one acronym by the mercy of Prabhupada I could think of is the word estimated. Right? Who could have estimated this purposes of Prabhupada? So E stands for the education, that is the first purpose. And education will be based upon Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the second purpose. S, T-I is when this education spreads, then people come together intimately, nearer to Krishna. That is the third purpose. Then when they come together, M is Mahaprabhu Sankirtan would spread. After that, as Prabhupada said, let there be a temple. AT stands for a temple, which is the fifth purpose. And the E stands for establishing form communities. And D, the last, is distribution of Prabhupada books. So in this way, who could have estimated that Prabhupada is going to America with the seven purposes in mind? If American embassy could have estimated, they would never have given him visa. Right? And who could have estimated that Prabhupada would fulfill these seven purposes within such a short time? And also he would give us a blueprint to go on expanding and increasing ISKCON in terms of these seven purposes. Right? So it was your desire that we think of ISKCON in this term of seven purposes. As you said, not for a single moment shall we be without ISKCON thoughts. That is my request to you all. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
We like to thank His Grace Damodar Prabhu. When he went up, we never estimated he'll leave us so many ISKCON thoughts. So as Keshavachandra Prabhu gets ready to speak, we would like to request His Grace Radhapati Prabhu to be ready with his offering.
Hare Krishna. Dear Srila Prabhupada, in the 1970s, when you would go along with your disciples for morning walks, especially in Vrindavan, the main road from Vrindavan towards New Delhi, as you would walk, it was very secluded and lush with lot of trees, and around 15 to 20 devotees would easily be able to walk along with you. However, today when we go to Vrindavan, we see that the roads are all full of traffic jams, and there are so many buildings, restaurants, and so much of development is going on materially, that it's becomes very difficult for a devotee to understand the mood and the spirit of Vrindavan, which is covered under the covering of Yog Maya. However, 50 years ago, Srila Prabhupada, you carried this spirit of Vrindavan along with you and traveled all the way to the West. And you started this movement by sowing the seed in the Tompkins Square Park by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and sharing this Krishna consciousness with all the young people of the West. And then when you established all the temples all over the world, which all share this spirit of Vrindavan, it's really amazing. And now we see that your disciples, who are very sincere and have an intense desire to fulfill your dreams and the prophecy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Prithivite Achedyata Nagaradir Gram Sarvatra Prachara Moi Hoibe Maharanam. Recently, I had an opportunity to go to Govardhan Eco Village and during the Govardhan Puja. And we had an amazing experience. All the seven temples along with Govardhan, the Yamuna River flowing. It was really a very serene experience. And we were walking in the Parikrama Marg, and it was all covered with very soft sand, which we all miss nowadays whenever we go to Vrindavan or Govardhan. And then in the evening, we had an opportunity to offer lamp at Radha Damodar temple, and very soft kirtan of Damodar Ashtakam was going on. It was so blissful experience with all lamps everywhere. And then Krishna Bhakti Prabhu and myself, we were sharing that every year we would have this Govardhan Annakut festival, and we were all participating in that activity. And this year, it was a different type of experience. And then when we came out, we were feeling this is, and everywhere there were lights and all. We stayed till the end, and almost all devotees had gone. And then as we came out, then one small boy came, and he said, Prabhuji, aap thoda mahaprasad lenge kya? We were already full with the afternoon, late afternoon feast, and I was not feeling so much inclined towards that. But I was just thinking, before I say no, let me ask him, kya hai gaya, what is there? And he replied, there is aloo paratha, dahi and achar. This is the offering which they make in all the seven temples in every day in the evening. And it was really that going to Vrindavan and not missing this aloo parathas and the bhalla, it was making the Vrindavan yatra a complete experience. So, and recently I have got service in the Vrindavan forest over here at your Radha Gopinath temple. And His Grace Pran Gopal Prabhu, he is assisting very much. And I request and pray that you bless us that we can do this service nicely. You have appeared along with Krishna on the day of Nandotsav, and you have departed from here in the month of Kartik. You have the mercy of both Lord Radha and Krishna. And on this very auspicious day, I would like to pray at your lotus feet that I may be able to develop this mood of Vrindavan, the mood of simplicity and service and cooperation with all the devotees, and serve at your lotus feet and that of your disciples and grand disciples. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Great. I'd like to thank His Grace Keshachandra Prabhu for his wonderful offering. If you want to see the cowherd boys of Vrindavan, you should go to the Vrindavan forest during the afternoon times. You'll find one cowherd boy there, Keshachandra Prabhu, looking for parrots. We would like to invite His Grace Radhapati Prabhu to give his offerings. And while Radhapati Prabhu comes, we would like to invite His Grace Adhikesha Prabhu to be ready.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. I consider it my extremely great fortune to be able to acknowledge with gratitude the great mercy that has been received during this lifetime by your holy presence and your instructions and your guidance. In my growing days, I came across a book, and the name of the book was The Third Wave by Alwyn Toffler. So it spoke about the first wave, which was the agricultural revolution, which was followed by the second wave, which was the industrial revolution, and which gave way to the third wave, which was the information technology revolution. So we have His Grace, our Radha Gopinath Prabhu, who always quotes, today there is so much of information. There is information, 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 and no transformation. So during Prabhupada's time, there was a BBC correspondent who asked him, so Swamiji, yours is a moment of transformation. You are transforming people's lives. And Prabhupada shot back. He said, no transformation. Ours is a moment of purification. And talking about purification, one verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam comes to mind, which describes, Yatha tarora mula nishchinena trupyanti tatskanda bujo pashakaha pranopahachara yatendriyanam tataiva sarvarhanam achyutejya. Which gives a beautiful analogy that just as every leaf of a tree, the twig, the branches and the main trunk are all nourished by the root. So any part of the tree, for its nourishment has necessarily to be connected to the root. And similarly, this entire creation, material as well as spiritual, the root of this entire creation is Sri Krishna. So therefore, any living entity, until and unless they are connected to that root, that is Krishna, there can be no purification. There will be putrefaction, on the contrary, by disconnection to that root. And as a masterstroke, you have saved millions of souls by providing that process of purification, which is Krishna consciousness. And for that, especially to reinforce and give it a concrete shape, you have given us the wonderful morning program, where the emphasis is on worshipping Guru, the connection to Krishna, then directly chanting the holy name, hearing the glorious message of the Lord by means, by hearing this Bhagavatam lectures, and engaging in the worship of the Lord, and acknowledging and accepting the mercy of the Lord by way of Mahaprasad. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for all these wonderful ways in which you have helped us to connect, to reconnect, and therefore get that nourishment. So that is your greatness. They say a guru is not one who says, I am God. Guru is one who says, see there, he is God. So that is your greatness, that you have connected the living entities, the souls of this world, directly to Krishna by this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. And I would like to acknowledge my personal gratitude in a few of these words as to what I was prior to coming into ISKCON and how it has helped me and so many millions like me to come under your protection. This world is a place that's full of gloom. To rest our head, there's just no room. With all our might, though we may fight, victory is always out of sight. For the enemy is lurking in our heart and not in front, whom we can confront. Like a bolting deer in search of scent, our lives in vain we've lost and spent. But a ray of hope there is in sight, and that, Prabhupada, is your very sight. For you can see what we cannot. You are transcendental, which we are not. You have the sword to tear apart that enemy seated in our heart. Your mercy is like the ocean vast, from which we can take as much as we want. We pray now at your lotus feet and beg forgiveness for our misdeeds. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. We would like to thank His Grace Radhapati Prabhu for this wonderful poetry, reminding us of how Prabhupada has given us a process for purification. As Adikesha Prabhu makes his way, we would like to request His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu to be ready.
So, on these special occasions, whatever we speak, we are underestimating what Prabhupada has created an impact in this world. But still, taking from what I heard from Radha Gopinath Prabhu today morning, that he was saying, bhakti in general is, people think it as something very sentimental, emotional. But bhakti is not a bed of roses. Now in Prabhupada's life, if you see, right from his days when he was a householder, at all levels there were failures. His business failed. His family also, he had not much cooperation. But then even devotional life, it was total failure one sense. He started BTG, failed. Jhansi failed. And then a time came, then he had to leave his home. He went to Vrindavan, penniless. When he entered the room, they showed him the room where he had to go to the first floor. In one of the furniture in that room, there was one bucket to draw water from the well, and there was a kerosene stove. This is how he entered that room. This state, he, imagine his grit and determination. Everyone was discouraging him. There is not a single soul who encouraged him that you should go. But he was so determined that I should go. And then, of course, when there is success, when he came back, his own countrymen, there is a time that film was very hit. There was a film, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada, successful, but here the people are saying, please don't spoil the name of Krishna and Ram. In the name of religion, don't do these sinful things. Imagine, so what I wanted to just, we are very scared of failures. I mean, we will always like some success because failure is very scary. But in his life, throughout there was failure, 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 failure. And then, again when he succeeded, it was not so much anxiety. Government oppositions, so many cases, brainwashing things, then his own sannyasi leaders falling down. So you see, his life there is full of anxiety, but never ever we have seen as this is what is real bhakti. You are in this world, but you are not of this world. He's not getting affected at all. Just one point about it, it's in the history, it is said, there are very few people above 60 years who have, material point of view, succeeded, but even if those who have succeeded, they have taken a start early in their life. Like, you know, they were 30s, 40s, and then after 60, they were successful. But Prabhupada started from scratch. What he was doing here and what he went to the Western world, it was completely new for him. And not only that, those who succeeded above 60, the others, whom did they do for? For themselves. Maybe for their family members, extended family members, maybe some philanthropic work for the humanity. Prabhupada did nothing for himself. It was only to fulfill his Guru Maharaj's desire, and out of compassion. He could have easily stayed back. In Vrindavan when he went, most of them come to Vrindavan, they stay there, it's a retired life. So this person who rented the house, he said, he has come here, he will never move out of his room. But Prabhupada will be every week, twice, thrice, will be going to Delhi, Lucknow, Kanpur, he's going to Bombay. He has never seen a person who... So he could have stayed back and just read his bhajan, but that didn't allow him because he was just... So this is what is Prahlad Maharaj. A pure devotee, he never thinks for himself. He is more concerned about what about these people. He doesn't care. Whether I'm in hell, this is what he said. Whether I'm hell, heaven, wherever I am, I can say, but what about these people? So this was the spirit in which Prabhupada left India, and we all know that if he had not left, what would have happened? So this is how we compare those who are successful, but they've done for themselves, and Prabhupada, even after he was successful, he was penniless. He was penniless before. After successful, he was penniless. It is very amazing if we read about, we have been every year, we have this occasion to hear, but it's something mind-boggling, you know. He had nothing. In the studio, he comes out, typewriter stolen, tape recorder stolen, he's on the street, he doesn't know where to go. He calls up, please ask him whether he can help me. So, we see in the history there are many people who have started the movement. Not only in India, but even from other countries. Now ISKCON is just 50 years old. But you see, most of the organizations which have started, they are fizzled out. Because ISKCON's foundation is based on Prabhupada's such intense, you know, sacrifice. I don't think anyone in the history has done this, where he has given his blood, his sweat, everything is just for the welfare of others. I don't think, it's very unfortunate that Prabhupada is not known much in the world, but we can't compare his sacrifice or love what he has. So in that sense, I'm very fortunate to witness not only the first generation, the way they have the same spirit dedicating themselves, and also the second generation, we see them. This Prabhupada's investment, how much faith and determination to carry forward. So thank you very much, Prabhupada, for this inspiring example. You as an acharya, your own life is, just knowing about you itself is an inspiration. So failure should not be scary. Hare Krishna.
We would like to thank His Grace Adi Keshav Prabhu for reminding us that no age is a bar how much for us to start contributing towards the mission of Srila Prabhupada. As His Grace Gaurakbal Prabhu makes his way, we would like to request Her Grace Radha Mataji to be ready and then Her Grace Vraj Leela Mataji to be ready.
Hare Krishna. This very auspicious days of the appearance and the disappearance days of great acharyas is a very great occasion and a wonderful opportunity for us to remember the gifts, the presence and the contributions they make to our lives and to the world at large. Srila Prabhupada's contributions are manifold. But to summarize them, Srila Prabhupada was a personality who gave us, firstly, a very clear understanding of philosophy. There's not many places where we have such crystal clear understanding of the philosophy of God, the philosophy of the soul, the philosophy of the world, the philosophy of life. But simply philosophy is not sufficient. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, along with the philosophy, gave us a process. A process of chanting the holy names, a process of serving the deities, a process of associating with the devotees, a process of rendering practical service, a process of honoring prasadam. But philosophy and process alone don't help people survive. Therefore, the third contribution that Srila Prabhupada made in our lives was people. Only when there is association of like-minded people, like-minded devotees, then the philosophy and the process is possible to practice properly. And thus Srila Prabhupada gave us the association of like-minded devotees, people. And simply having people is not sufficient in life as well. We'll just practice the process, we'll understand the philosophy and have good time with the people. Therefore, one of the other contributions that Srila Prabhupada made to our lives is a purpose. A purpose to contribute, a purpose to share, a purpose to give. That is why he gave us preaching. So that we can not just remain fortunate with the philosophy, with the process and with the people, but we can make many more people in this world fortunate. And in order to have the philosophy, the process and the people and the purpose, he gave us places. Which is he erected temples, he erected communities, and in these places we could all come together and practice the blissful aspects of Krishna consciousness. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for making Krishna consciousness so accessible to everyone in the world. In my travels all across the world, I find so many people becoming fortunate because of Srila Prabhupada's grace and mercy. But what truly makes Srila Prabhupada's gifts and contributions complete? What truly makes Krishna consciousness possible for us to practice is the greatest gift that he gave. He gave the gift of personal care. Srila Prabhupada's disciples will recount. Actually, to be honest, people don't leave a philosophy. No one leaves a philosophy. No one even leaves a process. No one leaves a purpose and no one leaves a place. People leave people. People don't leave institutions. You know, a process doesn't create bitterness in the heart. Neither does a place create bitterness in the heart. Nor does philosophy create bitterness in the heart. Nor preaching Krishna consciousness creates bitterness in the heart. If this bitterness that is created, it's created by people.
Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he actually gave us the contribution of a legacy of personally caring. Earlier this year, I was in the United States and I went to New Vrindavan. One disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Sankirtan Prabhu, His Grace Sankirtan Prabhu, he invited me to visit his home. He and his wife were staying in this home, the very same place where Srila Prabhupada stayed last in the year 1977. So when I went to their place, they gave me in my hand a picture of Srila Prabhupada, who was sitting on a Vyasasana. And Srila Prabhupada was, this picture was taken right in the garden, in front of the house. So he, whoever guest arrives to his home, he gives them this picture, asks them to hold the picture, and then takes a picture of the devotee holding this picture. And there's a Facebook page called Holding Srila Prabhupada, and every picture is posted by him there. And then when I was holding this picture and standing there, I took a picture, and while I'm holding this picture, he said, "Shall I tell you a story?" I said, "Yeah." He said, when Srila Prabhupada was sitting right here, on this Vyasasana, one day, it was an evening, and many devotees in New Vrindavan had gathered there. It was a crowd, everyone was standing there. It was a nippy day, slightly chilly and cold. And as all the devotees were standing there, some were wrapped in chadars, some had coats, some had jumpers, and some had different kinds of things. And as Prabhupada was standing, he watched a lady standing in a corner, and she didn't have anything on. And because it was nippy, she was shivering. The temple president was sitting right in front of Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada then turned towards the temple president and said, "Why don't you give her something to cover herself? The greatness of a person is not in how he takes care of the great achievers. The greatness of a person is seen in how that person takes care of the least on the list of people in the community." So when Srila Prabhupada saw this lady, he said, she's shivering, she's cold, give her something. The temple president said, "Prabhupada, she doesn't care." And then Srila Prabhupada looked into his eyes and said, "She may not care, but you should care." And therefore, Srila Prabhupada's legacy is a legacy of care. Wherever care lacks, that's where the community falls apart. Thus, an American author, poet, and a civil rights activist, her name was Maya Angelou, she said, "People will forget what you said, and people will forget what you did, but they will never forget how you made them feel." People will never forget how you made them feel. Srila Prabhupada made people, his devotees, feel encouraged, honored, appreciated, respected, gave them tremendous amount of dignified treatment. And what was the result? They always did more than expected. Because when one is treated like that, with such care, they always do more than expected. And therefore, yes, Srila Prabhupada has given us incredible contributions. And the process goes on anyways. Like I said, no one leaves the process. In fact, how the process is practiced is quite amazing. Just this afternoon, someone was telling me a story. One guy from the base somewhere, he went, college student, chanting 16 rounds, he went to the classroom, and while attending the class, he slept. You know, devotees sleep everywhere. So he slept, except for Mahaprasadam, they fall asleep everywhere. So this guy fell asleep in the class. So the teacher, the professor, was so upset that he's sitting in the front bench and sleeping. He came and woke him up, and as soon as he woke him up, he said, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna." You can imagine, it's gone so much in him that when he woke him up, he just started chanting Hare Krishna. So a lot of times the process can go in the autopilot mode, where we don't feel, we don't know, none of those things are done. But I know one thing for sure, if it's something that sustains devotees and makes them do more and more committed service, it is personal care. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for the philosophy. Thank you for the process. Thank you for the purpose. Thank you for the people. Thank you for the places. And thank you for a legacy of personal care. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
We'd like to thank His Grace Gaurgopal Prabhu for this amazing offering, reminding us of these six beautiful gifts that Srila Prabhupada has left for us. Definitely, Srila Prabhupada has left one more gift, and that is the gift of preachers. people like Gaurabal Prabhu who are taking Srila Prabhupada's movement to another level and making people really proud of ISKCON. As Her Grace Radha Mataji comes ahead and makes her offering, we would like to request Her Grace Vrajadila Mataji to be ready.
Haribol. Of course, we choose these days to speak and thank Srila Prabhupada, but ideally we should be thanking him every day, as Gaur Gopal Prabhu said, for the abundant mercy that we've been getting from him. And Prabhupada, being such a wonderful pure devotee, was filled with such wonderful qualities. And it's impossible to touch upon all. But I'd like to say a couple of incidences that show some of his qualities. In spite of achieving so much in and at such an old age, Prabhupada was so humble. He was also he was like a father, grandfather, and immediately people just loved him the minute they saw him and interacted with him. He was also extremely witty. There was a time when a lady reporter had come and she wanted to interview Prabhupada. But from the start only all the devotees could see that she was in a very sneering way she was asking Prabhupada questions. And she had come in dressed in a miniskirt. So she was rude when she was asking the questions, and then she directly asked that, why do you all shave your head? So Prabhupada very calmly, he didn't get disturbed at all. He said, to have a cool head. So again she asked him, but why do you shave your head? So he said, it is better to have a cool head and warm legs. And then he looked at her and he said, because she was wearing a mini skirt, he's saying, rather than having cool legs and a hot head. So, but she said it so, he said it so calmly that he didn't even, put the other person down, but she got the message through. And another occasion, because Prabhupada would distribute cookies, and it was something that all the devotees would really look forward to. And this happened in New Vrindavan, where Radhana Swami was the pujari, and there were no cookies, so it was his desire, he was serving the deities there, so he got the deities Mahaprasad plate directly to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's servant at that time, Pushta Krishna Prabhu, he said, impossible, you cannot give an entire deities plate like that for Prabhupada to distribute. So where are the cookies? So he said, there are no cookies, he can distribute from the Mahaprasad plate. And he wasn't allowed to go, but somehow Maharaj got the opportunity to be in front of Prabhupada, and he offered Prabhupada the deity's plate. So Prabhupada smiled so sweetly at him, and he took a spoon, and he sampled first the sweet rice, and then he started distributing it spontaneously. One spoon he sent, and usually people would form a queue and take the cookies, but they were so taken aback by Prabhupada's spontaneity, they just rushed in the front to get. So when the sweet rice got over, Prabhupada sampled another offering, and then he started distributing that. When he came to the gulab jamun, he just bit into it, and the devotees were so close that when he first bit into it, it just squirted on all their faces, and they were so ecstatic that. And then Prabhupada bit again, and then he distributed it. So it was, and the devotees were going, crazy with ecstatic love that Prabhupada, he was giving the direct mercy like that. So we have a lot to thank Srila Prabhupada for, and we pray that we can serve you in any menial way possible, and thank you for everything, and thank you for giving our beloved spiritual master to us.
Next. As Her Grace Vrajalila Mataji makes her way, we would like to request Her Grace Kalindi Mataji to be ready.
Hare Krishna. First of all, Srila Prabhupada, I am very grateful to you for having given shelter in your house. this house is so big, but it is not made of any material ingredients. It's made of compassion, tolerance, patience, all the qualities, all the Vaishnava qualities which are present. And one aspect I want to thank you for is you have given, encouraged Mataji. As a Mataji, I just want to say that you have given so much encouragement for Matajis in this process of Krishna consciousness. In the early years, you were like a father to all the disciples and even the lady disciples. And as a mother, you trained them in the activities which a normal woman is supposed to do, like cooking, washing, cleanliness, stitching, everything you taught them, and you trained them so nicely. And also the code of conduct. Normally in India, anywhere I think, mostly in India, a mother teaches a girl as she grows up, how she has to behave, how she has to talk, how she has to dress, and what she has to learn, what all she is supposed to learn in cooking and other activities, household activities. And you as a mother, you trained like Jamuna Mataji and Malati Mataji and so many other Matajis, everything, what a woman is supposed to learn. And you transformed them into a Vedic woman. So they were so perfect in their activities that although they came from the Western culture, they had totally imbibed that Vedic culture and followed your instructions so perfectly. And so you have facilitated everything for all the Matajis, how we can progress in spiritually in Krishna consciousness. And normally in the outside world, liberty, they say women's lib, and they fight for the women's rights, everything. But they are all exploited. But here we have been given the liberty to all do all the services, not only just kitchen, and you have allowed us to enter the altar and the deity kitchen and do the services directly to the deities. Normally Indian temples, they don't allow. They only men are doing all the things. But you have given that opportunity to serve the deities directly. And here we have been given all the liberty. At the same time, we are so well protected. Outside world, although they fight for women's rights, they are all exploited. But here we are well protected. And we have been trained for the code of conduct, how to maintain the code of conduct. And this, all not only this thing, so all these household activities like cooking or deity worship, also in book distribution, kirtan, dancing, everything we are allowed to do. You have given us all the liberty. At the same time, you have given the instructions also, how a woman should conduct, how a Mataji should conduct herself. We are very, very grateful to you, Prabhupada. And we are indebted, I'm indebted to you for having given so much mercy and compassion and love. And I hope I'll just never leave your house at any cost. At least in some corner somewhere, I'll be a small particle in this house, so that I'll be able to serve you and your disciples and your grand disciples. And in that form, I'll be able to serve the deities. Thank you so much, Prabhupada.
We would like to thank Her Grace Rajalila Mataji for sharing how Prabhupada has been compassionate to everyone. Her Grace Kalindi Mataji makes her way. We would like to request His Grace Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu to be ready with his offering.
Hare Krishna. One Vrajavasi from Vrindavan, from Vrindavan Research Institute, Gopal Chandra Ghosh, he shares his memories of Srila Prabhupada, time he spent when Prabhupada was in Radha Damodar temple before he left for USA. So he shares some of his pastimes which he could never forget.
So once when he went to visit Srila Prabhupada at Radha Damodar temple, Prabhupada was having fever. And then this Brajavasi asked, how are you? So Prabhupada said, I have taken some Ayurvedic medicine, I'll be alright by tomorrow. So next day again, this Brajavasi, he visited Prabhupada and asked, how are you now? So he said, I am fine now. And then Prabhupada said, yesterday Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he came in my dream. And he told me that you should write like Narottam Das Thakur, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, like Srinivas Acharya. And you should do this and all six Goswamis will help you. And then Prabhupada told him that my Guru Maharaj, he has given me so much mercy. He blessed me and he has actually given me the power. And another winter early morning when this Vajivasi visited Radha Damodar temple, he saw Prabhupada sitting in veranda and then he saw that Prabhupada is chanting very, very deeply. And at the same time, tears are coming out from his eyes. So he asked Prabhupada what happened. But Prabhupada initially was reluctant to answer. On repeatedly asking him, Prabhupada said that yesterday, last night, I had a visit. I had visit of some very beautiful personalities. The one person who one of them was wearing only kopin. He was holding a large tulsi mala in his hand and he was chanting. He had lotus eyes and he was very effulgent. And another person, he was a little older and a little taller. And the third person, he was a very youthful sadhu. And his beauty and sweetness was so enchanting. And then Prabhupada said, they were Rupa Goswami, they were Sanatan Goswami, they were Jiva Goswami, the nephew. And they actually spoke to me and they gave me guidance how to write and how to do my future preaching. And then Prabhupada was totally focused on the Guru's instruction and he was busy in writing the books. And then one day final came when he had finished his first canto English translation. And then he arranged a big program in Vrindavan and he invited UP governor for this program. And then he organized the whole program by himself because he was alone and doing everything alone. And he gave this Brajavasi boy some money and he said, you could go and do publicity. So this Brajavasi hired some rickshaw and did announcement on the loudspeaker. There is one program by Bhaktivedanta Swami and UP governor is coming. And today is Janmashtami. All of you are invited for the program. And quite a big number came to the program. And since it was Janmashtami, Prabhupada had arranged a prasad of some drinking curd fruits and Mahaprasad sweets. And then while program was going on, this Vrajavasi told Prabhupada that you are giving all these people this first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why don't you give me one copy? So then Prabhupada said, Prabhupada knew that his English was not so good. So Prabhupada told him, no, this English is very hard for you to understand. One day it will be translated in Hindi or Bengali language and that time I will give you the copy. That time you can read it. And then in his speech, Prabhupada said that this translation which I have published, is going to be great way illuminating the world because after reading it, many, many people from Eastern and Western world, they are going to follow this Harinam Sankirtan. And they are going to worship Harinam. They are going to do puja, seva. And this is just first canto. And some time the other cantos also will be published. And slowly, gradually, Chaitanya Charitamrita also will be translated. So Prabhupada announced all these things that time. That was in 1962. And after the program got over, he told this Vrajavasi that this is a great work. Because my Guru Maharaj has told me to preach all over the world. And actually, I have no courage to do this task, but my Guru Maharaj has enlightened my life, he has enlightened my heart, and he has blessed me. So we can see that when Prabhupada met his Guru Maharaj in 1922, he was a grahastha, and he was just a young boy. He went to Uldadanga Junction with his friend Narendra, and just at the first sight, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati spotted him and told him that, why, you are an intelligent young person, and you should preach English in English language, the Sanatan Dharma. And Prabhupada is totally focused. For him to materialize this and execute this instruction, it took more than almost 40 years. And it's a long time because Prabhupada faced a lot of difficulties, a lot of reversals, but he never lost the focus. He never got discouraged. He never lost the hope. Prabhupada is a first-class example of utsaha, nishchaya and dhairya. So today on this 39th disappearance anniversary of Srila Prabhupada, I sincerely pray to Srila Prabhupada that let me be focused. There are so many circumstances and so-called restrictions in life, but please let me become focused on instruction of Guru Parampara, and let me be focused to surrender my life and to do required sacrifices to push ahead this wonderful movement of Lord Chaitanya. Thank you very much.
We would like to thank Her Grace Kalindi Mataji for her wonderful offering. As Krishna Dadbu is making his offering, we would like to request Rasa Manjari Mataji to be ready. As we are approaching towards the end of our scheduled time, we would like to request all the devotees to restrict their offerings to 3 minutes. Thank you very much.
So today I was just thinking about Srila Prabhupada's contribution. It's such a vast subject matter to discuss. But I was taking the subject of war. We are all surrounded in this context of war. And Prabhupada was also once in the war times. And we have seen the Second World War raging from late 1940s. So just before that, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj left this world, instructing Srila Prabhupada to Abhay Charan Arvinda, to write books. If get some money, write books, because he had seen the fire in the mud, people fighting for positions, rooms. So he said that if you can spread message without this structure and spread it wide and far, it would be very nice. So he was writing, he was with his godbrother Sridhar Maharaj, he was staying in his room upstairs, he rented it out to him, and he was quite active in writing. So many of them felt that Abhay Charan should write, continue harmonist, and they were so happy with his writing that they conferred him the title of Bhakti Vedanta. They wanted to confer the title of Bhakti Siddhanta, but he said it will be just contradicting the Acharya, the previous Acharya. So Prabhupada humbly accepted that. And actually, later on we see that Prabhupada started writing books in presence of his senior godbrothers. And he was feeling a little awkward. So Prabhupada wanted to serve his spiritual master, but had the etiquette around the situation. But he was humble and he took the order of his spiritual master. Not that getting overwhelmed by the can I write in front of my seniors? But Prabhupada, it was not just that. It was a war time. Prabhupada was in the context of war. It was Calcutta. The Allies were being bombed by the Japan and America. And then Prabhupada was in Calcutta. He sent his children to Navadvip, but his wife stayed. She wanted to remain in Calcutta. So he could hear the bombing every day. But he was writing his books. He was writing. And that's when the seed of the instruction became fructified in that context. In the context of great calamity, great moments are born. So Back to Godhead was started by Srila Prabhupada just in the context of war. Why? Because it was an urgent necessity and Prabhupada wanted to express this great solution in times of urgent necessity. And that's how Prabhupada wrote Back to Godhead magazine in this context of war, because not only war, but the effects of war. The British, he saw the British cutting the hand of the weavers, exploited the masses. There were huge amount of grains which are sacked in the ocean just because so that the enemies would not get that. So Prabhupada saw the starving masses in Calcutta. And when Prabhupada is writing about Back to Godhead magazine, he is feeling the sense of compassion with the context around him. So it was the courage of Prabhupada to not just be there as a spectator, but be as a one who can provide solutions. And he wrote that how great people have looking India for solutions. And he was talking about the war and talking about the aftermath of war, and war is not the solution.
But eventually, when Prabhupada went to the West, Goldsmith, the lawyer, he asked, Swamiji, you're talking about Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is encouraging war. So do you want us to follow this Krishna who is a warmonger? And Prabhupada said, it's not supporting the theory. There's a good war and there's a bad war. War is necessary. So Arjun was fighting the good war. He said that, but we are against this war. We want peace, and war is against peace. So that means Krishna is against peace, and we are against Krishna that way. So Prabhupada said, you cannot stop war. There will be war whether you want or do not want. The main thing is that even if there is no war in times of peace, is there peace? Is there peace of mind? Is there peace around you? Is that not the whole social turmoil around us? And Prabhupada said that one must actually fight against the war against death. Death is the final war. And Prabhupada is explaining about that. So in this context, I was just thinking about how Prabhupada was contextual. And therefore, in Purport 1.15.30, Prabhupada writes about how Arjun feels the disappearance of Krishna. And he says that Arjun was not willing to fight the war, but Krishna forced him to do because it was his mission. So his mission may be war, his mission may be peace, his mission may be a lot of other things. But Prabhupada says, one should adjust the pace of his activities in pace with the mission of the Lord. And in doing that, one will achieve perfection and go home back to Godhead. So Prabhupada, this humility and the courage that he showed during your Grahastha years made Krishna consciousness a contextual relevant, contextually relevant, and therefore you could address all kind of audiences. So we expect, and we taking this inspiration of the war, we can actually fight our war while adjusting the pace, by adjusting our activities in pace with the mission that is calling around us. So Prabhupada, thank you so much for giving this Krishna consciousness moment in times of war and peace so relevant. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. We'd like to thank His Grace Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu for this wonderful offering and reminding us that actually inviting us to become warriors in this mission to protect the culture of the country while the soldiers of India are protecting the borders of the country. So we are recruiting people to protect the culture of the country by joining this army. So as Her Grace Rasamanjari Mataji is making her way, we would like to request His Grace Mahaprabhu Prabhu to be ready.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my most humble obeisances at your divine daughter's feet. I feel extremely insignificant standing here in front of you. And I feel I don't have enough words to glorify, but I've been really thankful for being given this opportunity. I'd like to just narrate one or two memories. Once you told His Grace Bhurijana Prabhu that he should go and start the center or begin Krishna consciousness movement in Singapore. And he was quite taken aback that how he will do all this alone. And somehow he gathered the courage and he did go to Singapore and he did start distributing your books and distributing Harinam. And then he wrote you a letter giving the updates. And you were so happy that you replied that the one can advance in spiritual life by following the instruction of one spiritual master and making it as one's life and soul. You wrote that you also got the instructions from your spiritual master to go to West and begin the preaching movement. And thus you mentioned that how yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, one can best advance in spiritual life by following the instructions of spiritual master. Also in one of the morning walks in Melbourne, you were telling that those who take up to the process of Krishna consciousness are fortunate. Those who do not take up are unfortunate. But those who, due to their immaturity, they give up the process of Krishna consciousness, they are most unfortunate. Prabhupada, standing in front of you, I really pray and beg that please shower your causeless mercy
so that I can get the courage to follow the instructions of my spiritual master and remain fortunate in the association of wonderful Vaishnavas. I am very, very grateful that I have got this opportunity of service, wonderful devotees in your hospital, where even so many patients have actually experienced your personal presence. Their lives have got transformed and they have taken up to the process of Krishna consciousness. Once again, thank you and beg that please continue shower your causeless mercy or insignificant service.
We would like to thank Her Grace Rasa Manjari Mataji for her offering. As Mahaprabhu Prabhu gets ready, we would like to request Her Grace Nartaki Mataji to be ready with her offering.
Jab second world war chal rahi thi, प्रभुपाद जी आप कचौड़ी बना करके बना रहे थे भगवान को ऑफर करके, क्योंकि लोगों को कचौड़ी बहुत पसंद है. प्रभुपाद जी को मालूम था कि ये वार वगैरह तो हमेशा चलते ही रहेंगे. इसी तरह अगर मेरी मृत्यु उस समय भी हो जाएगी तो यहां कचौड़ी बना रहा हूं, भगवत धाम में जाकर कचौड़ी बनाऊंगा. प्रभुपाद जी आपने जो दिया है पूरे संसार के लिए एक नई चीज दी है जो किसी को मालूम भी नहीं था. भगवत गीता का सार सिर्फ किताबों में छिपके रह गया था. जैसे कि नवे अध्याय का दूसरा श्लोक, राज विद्या राजगुह्यम पवित्रम परम, भगवत ज्ञान जो सारी विद्याओं का राजा है, वो कहीं भी किसी भी स्कूल कॉलेजेस में कहीं भी नहीं बताया. ना घर वालों ने बताया, ना माता पिता ने बताया, ना पंडितों ने बताया, ना साधुओं ने बताया, किसी ने नहीं बताया, ना नेताओं ने बताया. तो आपने वो राज विद्या, सारी विद्याओं का राजा, और वो क्या है, और शुड आई स्पीक इंग्लिश, सारी विद्याओं का राजा आपने लोगों को बताया एक सिंपल चीज कि कलयुग में 90% हमारी भक्ति सिर्फ भगवान के नाम का जाप करने के ऊपर निर्भर है और 10% उन सारी चीजों पर निर्भर है जो हम कर रहे हैं, कथा सुन रहे हैं, मंदिर जा रहे हैं, यात्रा जा रहे हैं, सेवा कर रहे हैं. दैट इज ओनली 10%. तो भक्ति का सिद्धांत भगवान के नाम का जाप करना, तो वो हम सुन रहे हैं बहुत, लेकिन अपने को जीवन में भी उतारने का प्रयास करना पड़ेगा. क्योंकि जब तक हम चैंटिंग नहीं करेंगे, भगवान के नाम का जाप हम नहीं करेंगे, हम कभी भी जो है इसमें प्रोग्रेस नहीं कर पाएंगे. सुन के इस कान से सुनेंगे, उस कान से चला जाएगा. मैंने थोड़े समय पहले, एक्चुअली प्रभु जी की कृपा से वो पिछली बार मैंने बनाया था बोलने का, लेकिन मौका नहीं मिल पाया बोलने का. तो उस समय मैंने एक फिल्म देखी थी, प्रभुपाद जी के अपीयरेंस देखी बात थी वो, तो फिल्म देखी थी, वो थी, उसका नाम था डे आफ्टर. हीरो सामा नागासाकी के ऊपर जब एटम बम गिराया गया तो वहां पर राख नहीं मिली, मतलब ऐसी बुरी हालत हो गई सेकंड थोड़े समय के अंदर. और इस समय सारे संसार के पास में हजारों गुने बड़े न्यूक्लियर पावर बम सारे संसार में भरे हुए हैं, और किसी भी कारण से, चाहे वो टेररिस्ट की कृपा से, चाहे किसी पॉलिटिशियन पागल आदमी के, या ये सोचे कि भाई ठीक है अमेरिका ठीक बोल रहा है, लेकिन रशिया कहने लगे कि जो मेरी ईगो हर्ट हो रही है, आई नो दे आर राइट बट आई कैन नॉट सरेंडर टू अमेरिका, सो वो चालू कर देगा। एक बार एक चालू हो गया, पूरे संसार में राख नहीं मिलेगी सेकंडों के अंदर। लोग सोचेंगे क्या पागल जैसी बात कर रहे हैं, जैसे 50 साल पहले बोलते पानी बिकेगा। अरे क्या बिकेगा, पानी भी कोई बिकने की चीज है, आज पानी बिक रहा है। किस समय ये कब हो सकता है? इसलिए प्रभुपाद जी ने इतना सिंपल तरीका बताया है कि आप ऐसी विकट स्थिति में हैं, कभी भी ये बड़ा इजी काम है मरने का, जिसमें कोई तकलीफ नहीं उठानी पड़ेगी, ना हॉस्पिटल जाना पड़ेगा, कुछ नहीं करना पड़ेगा। लेकिन अपन अगर ये चैंटिंग प्रभुपाद जी ने बताया है, अगर कोई बोला कि वर्ल्ड वार थर्ड चालू हो गई है, सिवाय कुछ नहीं करने का है, सिवाय चैंटिंग करने के अलावा और कुछ हमारे लिए करने की जरूरत नहीं है। और अंत में इतना बताऊंगा मैं आपके लिए कि हम लोग सोचते थे, हमारे यहां ये बताया गया था, हरे कृष्ण में आएंगे साधु बन जाएंगे। भगवान गीता में भगवान ने कृष्ण अर्जुन को कभी नहीं बोला कि तुमको साधु बनना है, वो तो एक्चुअली ही वांटेड टू रन अवे फ्रॉम बैटलफील्ड, उन्होंने बोला नहीं। तो ये जो है उनको जो है अपनी ग्रस्त आश्रम को पालन करते हुए अपना कार्य करना पड़ेगा। और इसलिए बहुत जरूरी है हमारे लिए इस समय कि हम इस रैट रेस में जो संसार आज दूर चल रहा है, रैट रेस चल रही है, इकोनॉमिक डेवलपमेंट के पागल हो रहे हैं, याद रखिए कृष्ण भावना कृष्ण भक्ति प्रभुपाद जी ने बताई है भौतिक स्थिति के ऊपर निर्भर नहीं रहती है। गरीब भी आदमी भक्त बन सकता है, मिडिल क्लास भी बन सकता है, अमीर भी बन सकता है, नहीं तो तीनों दुखी हैं आज। और किसी को मालूम नहीं है कि वह गरीब से अमीर क्यों बनना चाहता है, क्योंकि सारे दुखी हैं। इसलिए बहुत जरूरी है कि अब हमको जो सुना है हमने, प्रभुपाद जी ने जो हमको दिया है, उसको हम अपने जीवन में उतारें। हरे कृष्ण,
हरे कृष्ण। We'd like to thank His Grace Mahaprabhu Prabhu for this dynamic and inspiring offering. Probably in the history of the ISKCON world, if somebody has distributed maximum number of beads, any award can be given, should be given to His Grace Mahaprabhu Prabhu. As Her Grace Nartaki Mataji makes her way to give her offerings, we would like to request His Grace Govinda Prabhu to be ready.
Hari Om, it's working. Vaishnava charana jala prema bhakti dite wala ara keha nahi balvanta. Vaishnava charana renu mastake bhushana binu ar nahi bhushanira anta. The water that washed the feet of a Vaishnava gives divine strength to a person engaged in loving devotional service. Nothing else is more powerful than this. The dust of the feet of a Vaishnava upon my head is the only decoration needed at the time of death. Srila Prabhupada taught us in the beginning of our Krishna consciousness about the five primary rasas. Five primary rasas a living entity can have in the relationship with Lord Krishna. After coming from Christianity, where only one rasa in relationship with God is described, I felt enriched by the depth of such spiritual wisdom. And then I heard Prabhupada's explanation, to consider oneself to be the Son of God is not such a high concept, because in that relationship the living entity is demanding from God, give me this, give me that. And God, as the kind Father, is doing all the services of protecting and maintaining the living entities. Also, in the early days of my Krishna consciousness, I observed one of our God brothers' relationship with Srila Prabhupada. It was Madhuvisa Prabhu. He had been in India helping Srila Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness by ecstatic Naga Sankirtan and other preaching activities. But eventually he wanted to go to an English-speaking country, and Srila Prabhupada sent him to Australia. There in the Rath Yatra parade, he protected Prabhupada from a selfish newspaper reporter who was coming too close to Srila Prabhupada with his camera from the front, while the crowd from behind was pushing on. So he asked the newspaper reporter to move to the side. But when he did not listen, Madhavisa Prabhu pushed him aside. Later on, Prabhupada expressed his appreciation for his protective attitude towards his spiritual master. In the early days, most of us were too much in awe and reverence with Srila Prabhupada to notice the necessities of our now elderly spiritual master. At another time, Madhavisa Prabhu had made some arrangements for Srila Prabhupada to lecture. He accompanied Prabhupada everywhere to introduce him to the audience, sometimes to elaborate on some to the audience not known philosophical concepts, or to settle unrest in the audience. This particular lecture was wonderfully received. When he seated Srila Prabhupada in the car afterwards, he went on his knees and asked Srila Prabhupada if he was happy with the program. Srila Prabhupada had a brimming smile. He took Madhavisa's head and put it on his lap and patted him while expressing appreciation for his loving services. Many years later, I realized why Srila Prabhupada loved him so much. He was already in higher consciousness. Namely, he showed some vatsalya bhava to Srila Prabhupada, in which he always tried to protect Prabhupada and see that he was happy. Prabhupada very much appreciated and encouraged this mood in many other devotees. One time he wrote to Yamuna Malati and Janaki, I lost my mother when I was only 14 years old, so I didn't get much of her affection. But now in old age, Krishna has given me so many young mothers to take care of me. And another mother, Govinda Dasi, is in Hawaii waiting for me to come there. So I will go there within this month. And to Mukunda, he described the affection he got from his father. His father bought him a rifle, but he wanted two, one for each hand. Another time he wanted to have a Rath Yatra cart and rolled on the ground when the father couldn't arrange for it. Later the father agreed to buy it from an old lady. So he told Mukunda, I was very sorry to have lost such an affectionate father, but by Krishna's grace, I have now many American fathers who take so nice care of me. Prabhupada was only 34 when his father passed away. Why did Prabhupada encourage this vatsalya bhava so much? I realized that he encouraged us through that to advance. What are the unique features of this vatsalya bhava, and how do they help us advance in Krishna consciousness? The main features are giving protection, giving nourishment, and happiness through fulfilling desires and taking care of needs, giving education, showing sometimes strictness and sometimes leniency in giving good samskaras, and over and above all, showing deep love through constant, untiring efforts to serve the child. In other words, Prem ki vajah se mehnat karna is the underlying characteristic of all the features of vatsalya bhava, and that is what Krishna and the representatives are so much pleased with. As we learn from Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad in connection with Damodar Leela, that when Mother Yashoda tried to bind Krishna, the robe was always two fingers too short. One finger represents the intense loving endeavor of Mother Yashoda, and the other finger represents Krishna being pleased and giving his mercy. That is what makes our bhakti successful. Some of you may think, how can I show this vatsalya bhava to Srila Prabhupada since I cannot meet him? But actually, Srila Prabhupada is not different from his ISKCON movement. ISKCON is made up of every ounce of Srila Prabhupada's energy and love. Every person that is in ISKCON and others living outside but interested to learn from Prabhupada, we should try to give physical and spiritual protection, nourishment through prasadam, happiness by fulfilling the desires of the soul and the needs of the body, giving education with the aim of bringing people closer to Guru and Krishna, showing sometimes strictness and sometimes leniency by guiding others through different stages of bhakti, and over and above all, showing love through constant endeavor to serve others in the above way. And this will satisfy Lord Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
We would like to thank Her Grace Nartaki Mataji for this wonderful offering. As she was speaking about Vatsalya Bhav, we can really understand just by her presence and her loving exchange with Srila Prabhupada and what she is doing in the hospital. She is like a really a mother to all of us. And we would like to thank her for her presence. As His Grace Govinda Prabhu makes His offering, we would like to request Mukundamala Prabhu to be ready.
Hare Krishna. Yesterday somebody sent me a quote about Chinese philosopher Confucius. He says that someone who is a leader, he is sage within and king without, which aptly represents or reminds Srila Prabhupada's character. He was able to reconcile the opposite. If someone is on the battlefield, what Krishna said in the Gita, Tasma Sarveshu Kaleshu, Ma Manusmara Yuddhacha. Those who remember, apparently, they fear to go on the battlefield. And those who are on the battlefield, they feel that remembering is very difficult. And Prabhupada was able to do both. I remember when he was going to America just in 1977, some people told him, why are you going now? You are so old. If you leave your body out of Vrindavan, that is not good. And Prabhupada said, I do not have such sentimental ideas. He said, I am a warrior like Arjuna. He said, if I leave my body, you can make my samadhi on the 11th floor of New York building, since there is no place for buying a samadhi place. So he was a warrior fighting on the battlefield, but at the same time there was continuous remembrance of Krishna. Therefore Krishna brought him back to Vrindavan. We see that Prabhupada, he would always quote this, a courageous like a British soldier and caring like a Bengali mother. People try to follow one thing, they want to be courageous. Courageous, courage without concern becomes a terrorist. And caring without concern is full of sentiments without proper value. But Prabhupada was able to do both. He was very courageous, but not at the cost of not being caring, as Gaurapapa was mentioning. Care was there and courage was there. Therefore, this quality of reconciling, he played the role of an acharya, like a great acharya, accepting Vyasasan, you know, big Vyasasan. But at the same time, he was able to connect with people on a very normal way, an ordinary way. People tried to catch him also. One time, somebody asked him this question about Allen Ginsberg, he was there. Now, Allen Ginsberg was not qualified to be initiated. Neither he wanted to be initiated. But he wanted all the privileges of being very close to devotees of ISKCON. So they asked him, Prabhupada, is Allen Ginsberg your disciple? That's a very tough question. If you say, yes, he's my disciple, that means you are compromising to have someone like him as a disciple. And if you say, he's not my disciple, then Allen Ginsberg will feel bad. That is called as dilemma, dharma sankat. But Prabhupada, without any difficulty, without thinking, he said very simply, he said, I'm everybody's servant. So this reconciling of the opposite is one of the most amusing and amazing qualities of Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, you know, he acted very strongly when it came to philosophy, but when it came to humanity, human culture, he was extremely sensitive. Mishraji, who spoke the wrong philosophy, he got chastisement from Srila Prabhupada in regards to philosophy. But when it came to human nature, he would cook for him. One of the great Indian politicians who deserved much more chastisement after hearing what he spoke about Bhagavad Gita. You know, that person, when he was very sick, Prabhupada went to visit him and he became very sympathetic to him. So therefore, this combination of being caring and courageous is an extremely important quality which Prabhupada exhibited. Warlike soldier, but caring like a mother. And because he reconciled the two, we see during the departure from this world in Vrindavan, he was surrounded by his godbrothers, whom he chastised many times being not a good warriors, in a very sporting spirit. It was not personal attack, it was an attack against the concept. The concept which they were presenting, which was not according to the mood of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It was a concept centric, not a person centric. And therefore, during the departure, without any hesitation, it was not because he wanted to be freed from the offenses, if I offend and if I don't beg forgiveness, then I will not get perfection, not with that intention. But it was a natural quality of begging forgiveness from his god brother. He said, please forgive me for my harsh speech. So reconciling the two is such a wonderful quality. He was surrounded by his devotees, even though he didn't want to. He was okay to leave his body in New York, but he was surrounded by so many devotees around him who were chanting Hare Krishna loudly, lovingly, and with great happiness. And then Prabhupada, again, someone who created such an establishment for him to say, Ab kuch ichha nahi, that is another reconciliation. Having so much, but having so much, and to say that I don't have any desire. But actually living an artificial life, saying that I don't have any desire, but at the time of dying, thinking that I should have had this one. So this reconciliation is one of the greatest quality of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, I pray that we can reconcile with others, and others can reconcile with us. We can reconcile the opposite side and harmonize the opposite. And that is what Krishna is teaching in the Bhagavad Gita, sage within and king without. And therefore Krishna, as our Damodar Kesava Chandra Prabhu said, he was born during Krishna's time. He departed during Radha Rani's time. So reconcile the opposite and went back to the spiritual world. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. We would like to thank His Grace Govindru for this wonderful offering, reminding us that we shouldn't become terrorists with a lot of courage but with no care and concern, but rather we should become simple-hearted devotees like Srila Prabhupada, having the courage of a British soldier and the heart of a Bengali mother. As His Grace Mukund Mala Prabhu comes ahead, we would like to request His Grace Krishnachandra Prabhu to be ready with his offering.
Hare Krishna. In one back-to-ordered editorial, Nagaraj Prabhu makes a discussion about ISKCON jargons, where he talks about various words we use which are understood only by the insiders. Like we have prasad, or we have mangalarti, darshanarti, we have disappearance and appearance. So prasad, for example, is a jargon, because most people think prasad means one laddu or one small sweet ball, whereas we expect prasad means a whole meal consisting of so many items, and unless we take the whole meal, we don't feel we have taken something. So similarly, disappearance or appearance is an ISKCON jargon. Usually we feel disappearance means something comes in front of you and then suddenly vanishes. That is disappearance. But Prabhupada explained how disappearance is like, the original Sanskrit word is tirobhav or avirbhav. Whereas we don't have a proper English equivalent, then we use these kind of words. So the English language or English writers describe how this word death is a euphemism. Euphemism means something that is a harsh reality, you tone it down so that it doesn't appear very harsh, to hide the harshness. So death is usually referred to as, we say passing, he passed away or he left the world. But in our society we don't consider death as a harsh reality. We have, by Prabhupada's grace, by the Guru Parampara's grace, we know death is a moment of celebration. It is a moment that is eagerly awaited for many liberated souls, And that is the way where we enter into Krishna's eternal pastimes. So that's Prabhupada's contribution, where we don't feel it's a harsh reality, but it's the greatest, one of the greatest joys of life. That is one of Prabhupada's greatest contributions. And in one book, Bhakti Tirth Maharaj writes how, in Spiritual Warrior, he writes how on these days of disappearances, we get an opportunity to gain access to the greatest of all powers. When we celebrate disappearance days, that's the day, that's the moment when we can access the most powerful of energy and get empowered in our life. So therefore, by Prabhupada's grace, we have understood how we can celebrate the disappearance and get ourselves empowered. In one of the earliest days, one of the earliest scholars who appreciated Prabhupada's contribution was this person, Professor Thomas Hopkins. And he asked Prabhupada, if you have to summarize your teachings in one letter, one sentence, what it would be? And Prabhupada quoted these words. Dharmasya hi apavargasya narthor thayopakalpate narthasya dharmai kantasya kamo labhaya hismrita. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. This is how Prabhupada summarized his entire teaching into one sentence. So I would like to take this opportunity to thank His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada for making us aware of this most important teaching, how to utilize all of our life's resources in cultivating the highest goal of life. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. We would like to thank His Grace Mukund Mahaprabhu for reminding us about how Srila Prabhupada, the experience of disappearing is also a very pleasing reminder. As His Grace Krishna Prabhu comes ahead, we would like to request His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu to be ready. This will be the last offering for the day.
Srila Prabhupada spent, he went to the West when he was 69. So from 1896 to 1965, there was one part of his life. And we have read about it in A Lifetime in Preparation, Srila Satswarup Maharaj's book. And then, of course, from 1965, the last 12 years, we know what he did today, and we have also heard in the past. So we are very much aware of the consequences of his going there and what he did. I'd like to just briefly dwell upon just one aspect which really is fascinating, because, you know, when somebody has achieved so much in life, whether it is spiritual life or whether it is in material life, one would assume that somebody has really, really put a tremendous effort towards that, to achieve that success. Now, Srila Prabhupada, we know that from the time he was born, he had come as a Shaktavish Avatar. He had only one mission. So he was concerned only about the process. He was not concerned at all about his about the consequences, about the results that came. And we also know that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, God Kishwadas Babaji Maharaj, and all the parampara, the acharyas, they're not measured by whether they had a million disciples or 5 disciples or 10 disciples or how many temples. So they were only concerned with pleasing the spiritual master, pleasing Krishna. So if you look at Prabhupada's first 69 years, we heard some of it today, and there is one Prabhupada disciple called Grace Mula Prakriti Mataji, who she left her body due to a cancer, but before she died, she wrote a wonderful book where she had actually spent several years, a couple of decades, interviewing all the old associates of Srila Prabhupada, including his God brothers and those who were with him in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. And the entire book is about that. And I just like to mention a couple of instances, because it just gives an idea that how Prabhupada was only focused on what he felt was his goal, which was really to accomplish his spiritual master's instructions. So once he was in just the day before, in fact, he went to the West in 1965. He visited Mayapur, he went to Shantipur, and the Pujari recollects this maybe 25, 30 years later, after Prabhupada already left this world. And he recollects that when Prabhupada came and how much he was actually, he found him sitting there even after others had gone, and he was weeping and crying. And when he asked him, then he said that I'm going tomorrow, I don't know what is what awaits me, but I'm just begging the mercy of Advaita Acharya to bless me that I could try to please my spiritual master. Also, another old associate mentioned that when Prabhupada was living in the Radha Damodar temple, he was, this old associate was about staying 3-4 buildings away, and he used to hear in the night around 1:32, a wailing sound. Somebody crying and wailing means out of sheer desperation. It was not just a normal cry. You know, it was very much out of, you normally wail when you feel completely helpless. And he heard this several nights, and then once he kind of climbed up to the roof, and then from his roof he could see down the Radha Damodar temple. And what he saw was astonishing. What he saw was that at the samadhi of Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami, Bhaktivedanta Swami at that time, as he was known, you know, he was actually he was wailing and crying. Nobody else was there, and he was only saying this that begging them that please help me to accomplish my spiritual master's goal. So we can see that even though this was some years before he actually went to the West, he wasn't concerned with what was to happen. It was incidental that there were 108 temples, that there were thousands of disciples, and then he got worldwide fame. He was only concerned out of compassion that to give what he had received and to give it in the best possible way. And in that lay his perfection. And this we could see that how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur could actually foresee, because much before, like this was in 1935, just shortly before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this planet, there was a senior godbrother of Srila Prabhupada recounts this in 1990s, and he says that this assembly which was being addressed by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there are thousands of people congregating there, and there was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sitting on a high level and talking to these thousands of people. And that time, Bhaktivedanta Swami, he was not a sannyasi that time, Abhay Charande. He was sitting perhaps 100 feet from the stage on one side. And in that same range between Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Abhay Charan, this sannyasi who recounts this, he was sitting somewhere in between, maybe 50 feet from the stage. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur just got the news that his London devotees had come back. The devotees had gone to London and had not succeeded. And he was talking that they had made an effort, but they couldn't do anything. They had to come back. So he actually mentioned this to the crowd, and then he paused and he said, "But I know one day," and then, yeah, he said, I know one day that somebody from one of my disciples will go across to the Western world and preach to the entire world. And then he looked in the direction of Abhay Charan. So this sannyasi who recounts, he said that this actually so he was in the middle, so he was looking at Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he could see that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was looking beyond him, behind. Then he looked this side and he saw Abhay Charan. And both of them, their eyes were transfixed for several seconds. I mean, no, maybe half a minute. Everyone was paused. And Prabhupada was, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada was looking at our Prabhupada. And, after making the statement. So he knew that time will come when this mission will be fulfilled. So we can understand that Srila Prabhupada was here for a mission. And that we cannot even count our fortune. I can't even imagine what our my great fortune is that we have been given this opportunity to be able to participate in this his tremendous effort of that to flood the world with the Hare Krishna movement, and that we have a chance to participate in it. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. We'd like to thank His Grace Krishnendra Prabhu for this wonderful offering. And as Radha Gopinath Prabhu makes his way, just a few announcements. Pushpanjali immediately after Radha Gopinath Prabhu's offering will be done by His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu himself. And then we would like to request Her Grace Nartaki Mataji to do the Prabhupada Aarti. And the Guru Puja Aarti will be sung by His Grace Jai Sachinandan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. After speaking for 1.5 hours in the morning, I never expected I'll get bonus. I'm very happy to share my thoughts. Actually, Krishna says in the Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvata, that my appearance and activities are completely transcendental. One who knows this in truth, upon giving up this body, does not stay in this world but comes to my abode. And at one place, Prabhupada writes, this not only applies to the Lord, but to His eternal associates or pure devotees of the Lord. And therefore, by looking at Srila Prabhupada's activities or hearing about it, and having full taking shelter of this example, one can actually attain the same benefit that one gets by understanding the appearance and activities of Krishna. One devotee, very Sri Vaishnava, he gave a very good example. If there is a huge boulder lying in the middle of the road, and if you want to move that boulder, huge boulder, stone, rock, then you take a strong iron rod and desperately you look for a stone and keep it at a very critical distance from the boulder, and using that stone as a fulcrum, you apply pressure to move the boulder away. Similarly, when this burden of this world, Bharavataranaya Anni Bhuvonava Ibodhadav, Kunti Devi also says, then a boat overloaded with adharma, it tilts and about to drown. At such a time, Krishna, with his plan is like the iron rod. He needs a stone that will not crush under the weight. And he looks for a person who can stand all the pressure that is needed to execute his plan. And he chooses, Nimitta Matra Bhava Savyasachi. I'm going to do everything. You just become an instrument. And Prabhupada was ready to be that instrument. Nachao, nachao, Prabhu, nachao. Simply make me dance, my Lord. And it's one thing to say that. Anyone can sing that prayer. But being ready to act anything that comes, I'm ready. To say that, completely removing the false ego and allowing anything that comes as mercy. That's when we read the life of such exalted personalities, acharyas, we actually understand what it means. So, I was thinking, what should I main focus that my experience in last 27, 28 years? Every year, the gifts that we were just hearing about this. P's, different P's, philosophy, process, the people, places, etc. All the gifts of Prabhupada, whether it is deities, whether it is process, whether it is prasad, whether it is his books, whether it is his devotees, disciples, everything, any holy name, all the gifts of Prabhupada, to really take advantage, if we have this spiritual shelter, that desperate need to take spiritual shelter, and to the extent we are eager and desperate, as we heard just now, how desperate Srila Prabhupada was that he be used as an instrument. To that extent, all these gifts can give us the strength. Damodar Prabhu was just mentioning, as he was, you know, to praying to Prabhupada about this estimated. He just prayed, you know, like how to understand. And then, kind of words popped out and he could get, and he could estimate his actually contribution of Srila Prabhupada. That I remember because it's very easy. You need some mnemonics and acronyms to remember things. So I pray on this day that just as a completely hungry man looks at the food or thinks of the food, as many of may be thinking right now, when will this be over and when will I take shelter of the food for my satisfying my hunger, or a thirsty person in the middle of the desert, you know, all his existence being choked away by heat, looks at a water. Let me also develop that kind of intensity to appreciate and take shelter of the gifts that Srila Prabhupada has given. Many have experienced when they have desperately come and stood before Prabhupada and prayed, they have received his mercy, his guidance, his inspiration from that. Anything, be it books, many people desperately, they just picked up the book and opened, irrespective of which book and which page, they started reading and within few minutes, they got the answer. This shows that all his gifts are completely transcendental. Like Krishna. Krishna, Anganiyasya Sakalendri Vritti Manti, whether it is lotus eyes or lotus feet, it's transcendental, it's absolute. Similarly, every word of Srila Prabhupada, every gift of his, to the extent we are eager to take shelter, that strength will come from within to actually become a humble instrument of the Lord's compassion in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. I think then some purpose will be served in our life. So I hope I develop that intensity for taking shelter and thus get the spiritual strength to become an instrument of Srila Prabhupada's mission of compassion. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I will request Shubhavilas Prabhu is expert at summarizing and his Ramayana and all his books, extracting lessons. So I would like him to summarize this before we begin our next program.
Hare Krishna. We would like to thank all the devotees for their wonderful offerings. There are many devotees who couldn't give their offerings because of a lack of time. We would like to beg forgiveness for all those devotees. So just to remember whatever we have learned in the last 2 hours, there is a small summary. As we said that ISKCON is Srila Prabhupada's body, and if we want Srila Prabhupada to really rest, we need to follow this REST, four letters, which we summarize the whole of today's session. The first is we remember that Srila Prabhupada has come here to remove the darkness. So he's a warrior to fight against evil and chosen by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself to be an instrument in his hands and in Krishna's hands. When we remember that here is a person who has come to remove darkness, then that brings us to understand that S, that means Srila Prabhupada has been a touchstone.
a touchstone which has given us 6 valuable gems: philosophy, process, people, purpose, places and personal care. But the question is, how do we use these 6 gems? The 6 gems have to be used in T, which means with proper training. That means 6 gems have to be used sensitively. Preaching has to be done sensitively. It has to be done in a witty way by reconciling opposites, courageous and caring. It has to be done with great determination in spite of unlimited failures. And it has to be done in a way that it helps people accept the process of purification. If we do this, if we do R, S, T, then a third, then the last thing follows E, which is we will get something which we have never estimated. What will we get? We will get the spirit of Vrindavan. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada Tirubhava Divas ki. So as Radha Gopinath Prabhu is making his way to offer the Pushpanjali, we would be distributing flowers to all the devotees. Please remember that we should, while the Pushpanjali's offering is being done, please keep the flowers on your right hand. And after the Pushpanjali offering is done, please transfer the flowers to your left hand. Do not throw the flowers, otherwise the flowers will get trampled upon and will be disrespectful. So kindly keep the flowers in your left hand and somebody will come and collect it from you all later.
So we can keep the flowers in 3 installments and offer in your heart and put it in your left hand and it will be collected by devotees.
Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Esha Pushpanjali Srila Prabhupada Ki Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Esha Pushpanjali. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavade Paschatya Deshatarine Esha Pushpanjali.
Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada.
Samsara Davana Lalida Loka Dranaya Karunya Gana Gana Tvam Samsara Dava Nalanida Loka Tranaya Karunya Gana Gana Tvam Thank you. praptasya kalyana gunanavasya vande guroho shri charanaravinda. Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nrutya Gita Vajitra Madhya Manasodasena Romanchakampa Shrutaranga Bajo Vande Guroho Shri Charanaravinda. Shri Vigraharadana Nityanana Shrungara Tanmandira Marjanado Yuktasya Bhaktamsha Niyunjatopi Vande Guroho Shri Charanaravinda. Chaturvida Shri Bhagavat Prasado Swadvana Tripta Hari Bhakta Sangha. Kritvaiva Triptim Bhajattaha Sadaiva Vande Guroho Shri Charanaravinda. Shri Radhika Madhava Yorapara Madhurya Leela Guna Rupa Namna. Pratikshana Swadhana Lolopasya Vande Guroho Shri Charanaravinda. Nikunja Yuno Ratikeli Siddhai Yayali Biryu Tirapekshaniya. Tatrati Dakshat Ati Vallabhasya Vande Guroho Shri Charanaravinda. Sakshadaritvena Samasta Shastre Uktastatha Bhavyata Eva Sadvi.
kintu praboryah priyaye batasya vande guroh shri charanarabinda. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati kutopi. Jayantu vamstasya yashastri sandhya vande guroh shri charanaravinda. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada jai jai Prabhupada. Jaya jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada jai jai Prabhupada. Jaya jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada jai jai Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Jai Prabhupada.